My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. This is a place where we talk to people in the United Church of God and those we cross paths with. Today, though, our format will be a little bit different. I'm usually the host of this podcast, but I'd like to introduce our guest host this week, who is none other than Chaz Leathers. You might say, who is Chaz Leathers?
What are you talking about?
Chaz is one of our producers, engineers, and editors of this podcast. And he's been doing a phenomenal job of producing the final product that we release every week. I mean, what you hear has been edited and perfected, and he produces something that is very, very good. But he's also been very involved in the selection of guests and subjects. Well, tell us what you do. You know, I think people would like to know how this thing briefly is produced and how we come up with what we have and just a little bit about the operation of the podcast.
First of all, thank you very much for the kind things you said about me, my skills as an editor. I do a significant amount of work on them, but you guys also have great conversations and everything. It's not all me, so I really appreciate those words, but...
Well, I've enjoyed the technical aspect of it because it's like editing a document. You take cut and paste, you know, you take things from the top that you cut out, and then you things from the bottom that you add to the front, and it's just it's just amazing.
Try to make it seamless, try to make it that nobody notices.
And we've actually created some podcasts overseas. You know, we've had some very, very wonderful equipment that I've been able to take along, very, very compact. Mm-hmm. But we've done podcasts out in a cornfield. We've done a podcast on kitchen tables. We've done podcasts in all kinds of environments, and some of them sound like they're in the studio.
Yeah. This whole program, I think, started back in 2013. I think I came on board 2015, maybe November of 2015 is when I started working on them. And it's been really exciting to see kind of where it's come ever since then. Like you said, it started off with like little, you know, 2 to 4 minute interviews, and you know, that was it. And it's kind of turned into now we've got these, we're still having interviews with people about, you know, who they are. Like we're talking to me right now about my job here and everything. We're going to switch it to you in a second. But I also like that we're talking about these kind of bigger subjects too. We just talked about aliens. We just had a podcast about aliens, which that's something I get really excited about.
One of the more popular ones that we've replayed and refeatured has been the death of Castro when the dictator in Cuba died. One of our pastors, Mario Sigley, lived in Cuba at the time and spoke about how he and his family escaped virtually, or they were emigrated under duress from Cuba to the United States, and how his father was arrested, and just terrible times in that country.
His father was a revolutionary. He was fighting. He stayed in Cuba to fight against Castro when Mario and his mother came up here.
And then they came up and lived in North Carolina. I believe his father was a medical doctor.
Yeah. I love that. Mario is somebody that I've known him for most of my life, but I never knew that about him. It's crazy how, like, if you don't ask people the right questions, you don't find out about some of the most significant stuff in their life. So, I love that episode.
Then we had one with Natasha Teague. She is our editor and who coordinates our Russian language publications right here at the home office. But she lived under communism, working in an office in Gomel, Belarus, when Chernobyl blew, which was 50 miles away from her home. And that was a very good firsthand story about how she lived there and how she was evacuated to eastern Russia, you know, almost as far as Vladivostok. I mean, it was an amazing story.
Which that's, that, isn't that like right on the Chinese border?
Well, said from their home, the apartment that they were in, they looked at the mountain range, you know, just beyond there, and that was China.
That's crazy. Because if you don't know the layout of Russia very well, which I didn't, like once I when I was cutting the podcast, I went and looked at a map to kind of see, just get an idea of the geography of her little journey. And it wasn't little at all. It was she's naming all these Russian towns, and it sounds like, oh, she just went a few miles over here and kind of went there. But no, this was a huge, huge trek that she made.
Well, Russia has 9 or 10 time zones, you know, almost halfway around the world. So, you know, for where she was in the far west, in Belarus, maybe there's one more time zone to the west, but it was all the way to the far east. Then Dr. Steve Britt and I had a number of podcasts that have dealt with science and the universe, and the one that was our favorite, the one was about aliens.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting to see kind of where it started and where it's come. And I guess, do you want to go ahead? Do you want to switch hats now? You want me
well,
to do the...
okay. I think we will. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're sitting here talking about all these great guests that we've had, and I think you're a great guest for us to have. You're another one of those people who the more I find out about your story and your background and everything, the more I realize that you have an interesting story to tell. And that's kind of the thing that I love about this podcast is that there are just all these people who you see them at church and you're next to them in the snack line and you have these like little chit chats with them, but you don't, there's so much you don't know about them. So you're one of these people that I think it would be really great to get to know a little bit better. So I think most people know that you're the president of our organization. I hope they do. And you've talked a little bit before about, you know, how your life has kind of taken some twists and turns. It's gone in ways that you didn't expect. So it sounds like you never expected to be president of United Church of God. So I'm wondering, what did your journey to the office look like?
Well, the journey would be that was not where I was planning to go. And neither did I have aspirations for that. I just felt like I wasn't the presidential type, so to speak. You know, I didn't feel like I...
What did you think a presidential type was?
Oh, they're just very famous people.
The big shots.
The big shots. And I never considered myself to be in that genre. What I did like in my life, though, after Ambassador College and graduation back in 1969, and that I started the ministry. Mm-hmm. And even then, I was on kind of the B squad. You know, I was not the first line of people that were sent to be trainees. I was a second group when they needed more people. Mm-hmm. And I felt very honored to be part of that. That's something I did want to be part of, because down deep, I do love people. I find people to be interesting, and I'm compassionate about people. Perhaps it's our background. My parents were refugees, and I was a two-year-old that came from a refugee camp in Germany after World War II. And so I had feelings for people. When I came to understand biblical truths and the kingdom of God and what our future was, to be a part of being able to preach that and write about that was very much a part of the way I was. And so I started in what was called a field ministry. Mm-hmm. That means working with churches and people in 69, and then became an assistant elder and assistant pastor, associate pastor, and then pastor. And for years and years, for more than 40 years, I traveled between two churches on the Sabbath and gave many, many sermons. And really thought that was going to be it, you know, for my life. I mean, I was very satisfied with that.
Which two congregations was that?
Well, I had many different congregations. I started in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Mankato, Minnesota. It was a three-hour circuit. Mm. From there, I was transferred to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and had congregations, you know, as a trainee even then, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Even, you know, later on, Little Falls, and, you know, all those places, Rochester, Minnesota, and even Mankato again. Then I was transferred to Paducah, Kentucky, and was pastor of that church. And that was my first full pastorate, Paducah, Kentucky, and Madisonville, Kentucky. I really loved that area. I was pastor there for 7 years. A wonderful, wonderful group of people. Then from there, I was transferred back to Minnesota. I was pastor of, kind of just kept getting slung around.
Ping-ponging back and forth.
And then from Minnesota, I was transferred to another job that was non-pastoral, and that was to work in church administration in Pasadena, California, which I really liked. I really like administration, to be very truthful. I like, you know, working with people, and became a pastor to pastors. You know, talk about the things that are pastoral needs, you know, family, career, health, all those things. And moving manpower around the country and, you know, helping people achieve their goals. Then, and for 16 years, was, you know, a pastor again of two very small churches, only a fraction of the size of the churches before. But I accepted that and really had no illusions to, you know, doing that again. But then through a turn of events in 2010, I was brought here to be interim director of ministerial services. Mm-hmm. And I actually tried to get out of it a couple of times. And one time I did say to the president, who was Dennis Luker at the time, look, I just don't feel like this is for me at this time. I'm going to have to move from Indianapolis to Cincinnati. Please find someone else because I really want out. Yeah. And he did find someone, and I suggested someone to him. And then, honestly, in my mind, I had let go completely. In fact, in my prayer, I was kneeling over the bed and said, God, thank you, and everything. And then a phone call comes in, and this person calls and said, my wife have this, and I have decided not to take this position. We think that you can do it. So I said, okay. And then I went to Dennis Luker again and said, well, he said, why don't you choose this person? You know, and that didn't work out. So I figured, well, twice now I've told him no. And then we had a crisis in the church. And I thought, well, I can't leave now.
The split in
December of 2010, 2011. And I said, I can't quit now. I can't walk away from this. Then I really put my heart into it to this very day. Again, I was very happy with the job of ministerial services because I felt comfortable in it. But I was living 2.5 hours away in Indianapolis and just came for the week to work Monday through Thursday. But then on the weekend, I pastored two churches back in. And after 2.5 years of that, I thought, this has got to change. And so I told the president, I said, if you stay on as president, I'll move. Because he was going to be reconfirmed. And he said, yeah, I think I will. He was unsure, but he says, I think I'll go for it. So my wife and I moved after 16 years, the longest we've lived anywhere, to Cincinnati, Ohio, to where we live now. And because the president was going to be there. And then 6 months later, he died.
Wow.
And so then when that happened, I was absolutely struck by now what, you know? And still at that point, I had no illusions of being president. One of the council members came to me when they were selecting candidates for the new president. And I honestly didn't think that I was on any kind of a list, didn't really want it. So then I said to God, you know, well, if that works, fine. But if it doesn't, at least I've tried. We know what the answer is. The answer is no if I don't put my name forward. And all of a sudden, I became president. And I remember the first thing that happened. I walked out to my wife. I was kind of in tears. And I said to my wife, now what?
were those good tears or tears or both?
No, they were good tears.
Okay.
They were just being you know, overwhelmed. So that's my long answer to your short question.
No, that's what I wanted to. That sounds like there's kind of a lot of sacrifice involved in the ministry, because you were all over Minnesota and Wisconsin and then Kentucky and then back to Minnesota and then California and then Cincinnati. So does that kind of, is there any kind of whiplash that comes along with that? Or you just, was it kind of this dutiful mind of like, I got to go where I got to go? Or?
Well, people say, you know, the sacrifice and so forth. My life and the life of a minister, you've got to make the sacrifice part the thing that you enjoy. You know, if you're spending a lot of time on the job, there's things that you can do that are just fun, you know, being with people. And there are certain things that are very lasting in your ministry that have impact in people's lives way down the pike. And that is spending time with them. You know, going over to their homes. I still say that visiting is one of the most important things that a minister does. You know, people say, well, people don't want to be visited these days. That's false. That's false. People... when somebody does actually come to their home and sits there for not a drive-by visit, you know, but sits there for an hour and just talks to them and asks about their kids and their work, that lasts forever. Because I had a woman here just a few weeks ago that told me that, you know, her minister, they had a new minister move into the area. And he said in the first couple of weeks, I'd like to come visit with you. My wife and I would like to stop by. And she says, oh, why would you want to do that? You know, you're so busy.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's what I do. And she was so moved by that. And just it is something that I want to keep talking about to our ministry, how important it is, you know, to visit. But as far as my work is concerned, I love everything I do. So, I mean, if it's long hours or whatever, I like the spiritual side of things, of being able to deliver content, whether in writing or, you know, speaking that's helpful to people, or technical. I like to edit video. You know, I like to do all kinds of things, and I just enjoy everything and try to include family in all this.
I think you've done a great job. Also, it seems like there's a common thread going through your life of communicating with people and building these relationships, because this podcast is also kind of your passion project. Like, you're really, you're steaming the engines, basically. you're down there below deck shoveling coal into the engines yourself. Like, this is the thing you seem to be really passionate about.
I've started that because it was kind of not pushed on me, but it was somebody suggested I do a podcast. I didn't even know how to do it. But they've developed it. I have really enjoyed the format, because you could talk to people about why they're thinking, not just what they're doing, but why they're thinking what they're doing. And if you ask the right questions, people will learn things about them that they would have never learned. And I feel like we have gotten to that point with a number of people.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to meeting people that are outside of our immediate culture here in the church, community leaders and so forth,
Have
people that know about us. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the police lieutenant in charge of one of the townships here, who I know through Rotary Club, who is a person that will speak about law enforcement and why laws are needed and so forth, as he does in club. I said, would you come and speak to us on a podcast? Said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's already spoken to ABC, you know. And then we also have a person who is in charge of opiate drug control or education, you know, in this area. He likes to speak to groups. I'd like to have him also.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, especially for people in this area, that's a huge issue in this kind of the Southwest area of Ohio.
But I want to thank you, Chaz. You've been an inspiration along with the others here.
I appreciate that.
In really producing a well-tuned podcast at the end. I listened to it and say, we didn't sound that great. And then, you know, we appreciate the team effort. It isn't just me speaking. Mm-hmm. It's a group of about really four or five of us here that, you know, have helped to find the people, to formulate the questions, and to look for a product that would be helpful to people.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It's really nice of you. I want to know a little bit more about you being in office, because I'm still kind of stuck on this crazy journey that you have of just this very full life that you have all before you become president of the organization. I'm kind of wondering what were your expectations going into the office, and did anything surprise you?
You asked me that question before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought long and hard about, you know, does anything surprise me? Mm-hmm. To be very, very gut honest, nothing has really surprised me.
Yeah.
I have seen, you know, so many things, you know, dealing with human needs, human weaknesses, you know, exhilarating triumph and so forth. There are probably some things that have been impressed upon me is that all people are alike as far as their needs. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. Everyone feels inadequate. Everyone has, you know, good traits and bad traits, but everybody pretty much is the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find in working with people. And I have worked with people, what I say, in high places, you know, in the church, you know. And as you get to know them, you find out that they're just like you. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk the same way. They have the same reactions to things. You know, once a facade is removed, they're the same kind of people. Mm-hmm. I've also worked, you know, with people on the outside. You know, I've worked with the First Lady of Indiana. I've worked with, you know, got to know her husband, you know, as well. And I find out they're also very, very same, especially the First Lady, just a wonderful lady. Mm-hmm. So I have found that I've not been surprised. Also, on the ugly side of things, you know, people have problems, addictions, and so forth. You'd be surprised as to the strata of people that some of these problems, you know, are caused. And I just realized that we need to be helpful to people, no matter who they are. And I find that, you know, God has delivered a particular course of transformation for all people, not just the well-adjusted people, or not just people who are skid row, or not people who are even well-adjusted. The standard is the same for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing about God's truth and the things that he has for us. Mm-hmm. People of any intelligence or intellect are able to be kind, able to be considerate, able to be loving, and so forth. It doesn't take special skills or intellect, you know, to study how to be loving. You know, everybody has these things. And to me, that's the beauty of this whole human odyssey that we're on, in preparing our lifetime that we have here on this earth and preparing for the future, the kingdom of God.
That kind of sounds like a thesis for what we're trying to do here with this podcast, because I like it's a little more free form. It's just a discussion between two or more people, and you can kind of talk to anybody about anything. So I like the opportunities that it affords. And I also learned something. Me getting the job that I have, it's kind of similar to, at least in the unpredictability of it, similar mm-hmm. to like what you went through. I did not expect to be working here. You know, if you'd asked me like 5 or 6 years ago if I'd be working at the home office, I'd be like, oh no, I'm not like a home office person. But this, it also helped me to kind of tear down the expectations I had of status and everything like that. Basically everything that you just said very eloquently. I will wrap it up in much sloppier terms. Well, I've got one more question.
Okay.
We can do that if you want
sure.
to. You were talking about kind of like a new format of talking to some people from your Rotary Club and people kind of outside of the church about these other issues that are, they're certainly covered under the scope of religion and everything, but it's not necessarily just about the inner workings of our specific organization. So I'm wondering, how will that new format of the podcast help focus the members on the vision and the mission that we have within the church?
Well, you know something? It's a big world out there. You know, it isn't just our little pond, you know, that we think that we're the only, you know, righteous people. Mm-hmm. We are very, very small. Mm-hmm. And yet, I believe that's one of the lessons that God has, you know, that we work with the people that we have. And, you know, God will cause us to grow and have effect on the world as he chooses. Mm-hmm. But one thing is that, you know, there are billions of people, you know, in the world. As I say, they all have the same needs. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, beyond me that God would just ignore all these people and, you know, pay special attention to us, which I appreciate. I appreciate being under God's grace, you know, and within his grace and to be his favor. But I also do know that there's a big world out there and that God loves all the people that we intersect with, people who have hurt us, people who betrayed us, people who have done ugly things. But one thing I learned from our former president, you know, Dennis Luker, is that God has a path for every single person. And it may be somebody who has rejected you. It is somebody who has walked away from you, somebody who has hurt you. But God has a path for that person as well. And someday we'll make sense out of all that. So what I'm trying to do here through the podcast is to try to enlarge our mind more than just in our own little micro world, but to talk about the fact that we have a whole history. In fact, I'm writing an article here for Beyond Today magazine that's being finished up today, which is Gain from God's Perspective. It's kind of a takeoff on the ad for one of the big investment companies, Gain from Our Perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, they have a perspective of seeing things, what's good, what's bad, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And God has a perspective of life that is prehistoric, which was a plan to have redemption. And he has a plan that's current. And also the plan goes way into the future. And it's all biblical. And so we need to get away from that, like on Google Earth, and see the whole the whole big plan.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to encourage within a church is for us to see the bigger pictures, see things the way God sees them, not just the way we see them today when we are angry or we are disappointed or, you know, we react negatively.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great to me. I'm very excited that you've asked me to be a part of it, and I'm very, very glad that you asked me to guest host today. This has actually been a lot of fun. had a good time. This is also one of the longest conversations we've ever had, because this is kind of a beehive here. So usually a lot of our planning happens in like short little snaps. So it's been great talking to you.
Well, thanks, Chaz.
Thank you for joining us on Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.